This next series, I've written a lot of notes on it. And I'm afraid I'm going to be sort of trapped in my notes. But this really fits. This almost could be number three in the series if you want to put the three together. And I want to talk about the power of letting go. I should put the difficult of letting go, but the power of letting go. You know, do you feel dissatisfied with your walk with God as a believer? You say, I'm making progress, but now I seem to lost what I had gained, and I feel I'm going in circles, and I have lots of doubts and discouragement in my walk with God. So I want to share my experience with you when I went through this very same thing. I was saved, and that's on another video, when I was working for a medical doctor, and I was 19. I was saved through an organization called the Navigators, and I thank God for that organization and their willingness to reach people outside of the church, because I wasn't going to church. I hadn't been to church. A few times when I was a kid, but that was it. I had no background. I went in the Army, and after the Army, God called me to go to Bible college and into ministry, which I thought would be a missionary. And after I graduated from Bible school, I had tremendous plans and dreams and all that I was going to change the world and all this kind of stuff. Well, I pastored my first church. It was a little country church up in the mountains of California in a little town called Aden. Not very big, little wooden country church. Looked typical of the country churches in that day. You see pictures of little old whiteboard country churches, and that's where we pastored and lived in the little parsonage right next door. And at that time we got there, we had three children. And I had great plans of all that I was going to do, and we had 480 people within 18 miles one way, 12 miles another, and I think it was 22 miles the other direction. You know, it was cattle country and logging country. And so this was, you know, if I got everybody that I could drag into the church, our church still wouldn't be a mega church. It'd be 480 people at the most. So, you know, I had so much excitement when I started pastoring there, and then, boy, all of a sudden, I had to have three messages a week, a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night message. And I don't know, I was there for 5.5 years, but somewhere during that time, it went from a calling of God to a job. And I don't like this term, but in a way, it was like a rat race. Oh, I got to find time to get these three messages because people want to hear good messages, and I got to try to have good messages and so on. And so I was very concerned about performance, my reputation. My prayer life almost died in all of this. All the Bible reading I was doing is for messages. And, you know, I was doing everything right. And outwardly, everything looked right. And some of these people would say, if you talk to them today, there's some of them, some of the dear people that are in that church that still support us today after all those years. And that was from 1960 to 1965 or 65 and a half, something like that. A long, long time ago. And I got desperate. I knew my heart was growing cold, but I was going through all of my activities the way I should. And I became desperate. And I cried out to God, God, give me an answer. What do I do? I feel so like parenthesis or on hold or whatever, treading water or whatever. In my spiritual life, it was more I was sinking than treading water, but no one knew it. My wife knew it, but no one else knew it. But somehow God's Spirit directed me to Psalms 139 of all places, the last two verses. I love these verses. And let me read them to you. This is out of the King James Bible, and many times I love the King James Bible more than the other translations I have, and I think I have every translation that there is. Some, I think, are a little bit better than others, but love the King James. I love its beauty, the way it's written. But the last two verses in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, "Search me, O God." Let me give you a warning. When you start to end up in the dumps and discouraged, "Search me, O God. And try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, way of everlasting." And God began to answer that prayer. I pray that over and over again. I'm praying scripture. I know God is going to answer a prayer that's based on His Word. And God began to peel away the issues in my life that stood between my soul and the Savior. I brought into my life as a believer, as I came into a believer, and I told you at 19 years old, I brought in bitterness from the past, false beliefs about myself. I had a fear of rejection. I had wrong attitudes, ideas of what I desired, the lack of gratefulness, the lack of contentment. I could go on and on and on. My prayer life had no real reality or power, and I knew how to pray, but I was going through the motions. I was, in some sense, like turning the beads. So I don't want to go on and on. But I'll tell you, the sweet thing about God is He didn't overwhelm me. I had so much stuff that I brought into my new life from the old life. 19 years of not knowing Him, you have a lot of junk. And I had to deal with them, and God brought them up one by one. I would acknowledge it. I would deal with it biblically. I would take steps of actions that was directed by the Word of God. And when that one was done, then God would bring up the next one. Now, let me share a danger with you. The danger in the process when God brings something up to say no to God. "I'm sorry, I'm not going to deal with that. That's too difficult. I just can't do this." And then all of a sudden, I realized that I'm starting back into darkness, and I'm on hold spiritually. Why? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us why, when we say no to the Holy Spirit, who is revealing issues in my life, and they're tough and they're hard, I don't want to face them and I don't want to deal with them. The scripture says, "I am quenching the Holy Spirit's working in my life." See, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we say yes to sin, but we quench the Holy Spirit when we say no to God. It was many times I said to the Lord, "I can't give up like this right, the right to self-protection, the right to my reputation, the right to my values, etc." So when you quench the Spirit of God and you say no to the Lord, then it's hard for me to die to self in those areas, which I needed to do. Remember Bonhoeffer said, God, the Lord bids you to follow Him and die. See, and yet my heart desire was to draw closer to Him. So I want to read in both of these things. I'm going to read a part of one. I'll read all the other one. That really, I think, are some of the most powerful things that were ever written. And they are on our website. The first one is The Power of Letting Go. I'm only going to read the first part. There's like three pages. But it's on our website, and you can look at it, look at the whole thing. You may want to download it because we have hundreds of pages of material that you can copy, and you're welcome to them. Calvin Miller has always challenged my heart and spirit in his writings. And he starts out The Power of Letting Go. It has been almost a century since the Titanic surrendered to the icy North Atlantic. The Atlantic waters strangled hundreds of souls with their icy fingers of paralysis. Some found themselves clinging to the debris of the disaster. And those who threw them ring buoys and ropes called out, "Let go and take hold. Let go of the trash and take hold of the rings and the rescue ropes." Those who heard the cry had no more than 4 minutes to obey. The cold, killing waters of the North Atlantic allowed them only 240 seconds of life. From freezing to survival was a brief trip to let go, and to live is often a hurried choice of courage. In a similar way, the Titanic blessings of God are never available for long. Life is short. We must number our days, Psalm 90:12 in the King James. In hurried minutes, we must prioritize in seconds. We must let go of our grasp on temporary trash, take hold of things eternal. We must relinquish and rely. We must let go and take hold. This is a simple recipe by which God rescues us from small-time living to teach us the glories of yielded greatness. My life is in bondage to the old cliche, all I will hold in my cold, dead hands is what I've given away. It is saying akin to those haunting words of the Savior, "He who clings to this life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life will save it," Luke 17:33. All in all, I convince I can never take hold of anything that matters till I have let go of everything that doesn't. I've got to have it. I've been infected with consumerism. I developed a chronic case of I've got to have it. My greed is too often overcomes my self-denial. I hang on to those things that are worthless. Therefore, I lose my grip on things of value. Forever I hear the Lord say, "How can you and I ever walk hand in hand when your hands are so full of temporary treasures?" The last one that has spoken to my heart is the trapeze illustration. The flying roadlays are trapeze artists who perform in the German circus. The circus came to Freiburg 2 years ago, and my friends Franz and Rene invited me and my father to see the show. I'll never forget how enraptured I became when I first saw the roadlays moving through the air, flying and catching as elegant dancers. The next day, I returned to the circus to see them again and introduced myself as one of their great fans. They invited me to attend their practice sessions and gave me free tickets and asked me to dinner. They suggested I would travel them for a week in the near future. I did, and we became good friends. One day I was sitting with Rodley, the leader of the troupe, in his caravan, talking about flying. He says, "As a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public may think I'm the great star of the trapeze, But the real star is Joe, the catcher. He has to be there for me in split-second precision to grab me out of the air as I come to him in the long jump. Well, how does that work, I asked. He said, the secret is this. The flyer does nothing, but the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I simply stretch out my arms and my hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely over the apron behind the catcher bar. You do nothing? I said, surprised. Nothing, Rodley said. The worst thing a flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe. It's Joe's task to catch me. If I grab Joe's wrist, I might break them, or he might break mine, and that would be the end for both of us. A flyer must fly. A catcher must catch the flyer. The flyer must stretch with outstretched arms. His catcher will be there for him. I love that. Are you willing to let go of the things in your life that are between you and the Savior? Are you willing to trust the Lord to catch you? See, how can you and I walk with the Lord when our hands are full of temporary trash and the Savior wants to take our hands and to walk with us through these circumstances, through the storms of life, through the disappointments? Beloved, all I could ask and beg of you to do this. Trust the Lord. If you're not willing to let go of the trapeze bar, what's going to happen? You're only going to swing back and forth, and you're never going to make progress. If your life is just up and down, and you're making no progress, ask God, what is it? What's in my life that I'm not willing to release to you that your Holy Spirit is putting his finger on? And you'll be amazed that when you're willing to release that, the peace and rest you'll enter into. Because God has never let those who have reached out to him fall. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to those that are watching this DVD right now. And Father, your Holy Spirit would point out to them, what is that thing in their life right now that's between them and you? And Lord, may they go to your throne of power, your throne of grace, and we receive that power and grace to help in the time of need. The problem is not that your throne has lost power. The problem is when I need it, I don't go there. And I'm going to handle it my own way. And Lord, I look back over my life when I was going to handle it my own way, and I just made a bigger mess. So Father, speak to the hearts of these dear people that they be willing to catch, willing to let the catcher catch them. Thank you, Father, for answering my prayer. Amen. In Christ's name, amen, and for his glory. Beloved, if you have a hard time trusting the Lord, read the Bible. Read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get to know the catcher. And the more you know him, the more you're willing to let go of. Bless you.